Blog Talk Radio.
Not too bad overall. So, got a lot of good stuff. We had a lot of headlines to go over tonight. Want to try to talk about the big event coming up in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Is the event coming up? Striking Muay Thai and kickboxing at the Muskogee Center. Weigh-ins are Friday night. Open to the public, going to start about 7 o'clock. And then, of course, the fight right back there Saturday night. And once again, we're inviting, tickets are still available at the Muskogee Civic Center ticket office. So go by there, get you some tickets. Going to be some great fights. And like I mentioned before, we got all kind of age groups. I know we got 8-year-old, a 10-year-old weight division, an 8-year-old age group, fighting. Then, of course, you got the got ladies kickboxing in Muay Thai. Then, of course, you go in to the men. And, we got fighters. They got fighters all across the United States, practically around the world. We got fighters coming in from Canada. There's one fighter coming in from Mexico. It's going to be a great, great event. So we definitely invite everybody. First event for this particular promotion. So I'm honored that they asked me to come in and do the announcing for them. My good friends at Cherokee Entertainment are going to be handling the music and stuff. Got a nice little setup they're going to be setting in for the entranceway for the fighters. So it's going to be an exciting night, Friday and Saturday, over there at Muskogee, Oklahoma. And we'll be talking over that. If we have time, go over the tentative fight card so you can kind of get an idea of what all is going on for that event. Some good stuff to talk about in the sports headline. What can you say about, the kid gets hurt. He's not crying. He's laying there on the sidelines, relaxing. He's looking at his teammates, and he's telling them to don't worry about them. Just concentrate on winning the game. Of course, we're talking about Kevin Ware, the young man from Louisville. I did a poll on the show last night to the most gruesome, horrific injury that have you ever seen in sports, in sports in general, be it football, basketball, baseball, whatever. For the longest time, it had always been Lawrence Tackle taking down Joe Theismann, and even that kind of took a back seat last year. And I mentioned this last night when Marcus Lattimore for South Carolina against Tennessee last year, suffered a dislocated knee. They initially thought his leg was broke, but come to find out it was just a major dislocation and pulled some muscles or tendons and stuff. I mean, he has been turning heads at the pro combine. So I am just praying and hoping to God that they will find some way to protect that knee so it doesn't happen again. And so that had pretty much been the second. That had actually moved into first, because just from the looks at Mark Lattimore's leg, you thought it was broke too. But then all the sports injuries I've seen got completely overshadowed last night or Sunday night when Kevin Ware from Louisville, broke both bones in his leg. And, I mean, his bone was sticking through his skin by about 6 inches. I mean, his teammates are down on their hands and knees on the court. His players on the bench. Rick Pitino is wiping away tears. Mike Krzyzewski looked like he was going to throw up, to be quite honest. Head coach for Duke, and of course the Duke players showed a lot of great class for Coach Krzyzewski. He went to the hospital Monday morning to visit Kevin Ware. So, I mean, he was on it. They were posting pictures this morning. He's up on his, or yesterday, up on, he was out of bed. He was crutches, moving around, had his championship ball cap for winning the region. He went home today, and he has already said that he's going to be in Atlanta for the championship game on the bench rooting for his other teammates. That is heart. That is freaking determination. That's the love of the game, and I wish more athletes, college or pro, would play with that kind of love and intensity. Instead of sitting there whining and bellyaching, oh, I don't make enough money, you know, follow this young man's example. All you pro players out there, all you minor league football players, I am not going to name names, who gripe and bellyache about not getting enough play time, maybe if you had half the heart that Kevin Ware did, maybe you'd be getting more play time. I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to point fingers. But if you know who I'm talking to, you should be ashamed after the example of this kid. So anyway, that's my soapbox for tonight. I'm on. I'm off. Hey, Miss Midian, I need something. I need a cold one, Wes. But anyway, I kind of wrapped up my soapbox kind of all at once right now. So, if everybody's ready, let's go down the some of the major headlines going on. The trade that I've been talking about the last couple of days is official. Arizona Cardinals have acquired Carson Palmer from the Raiders. And it's like, how bad can it be in Oakland that you take a pay cut to get out of town? And that's exactly what Carson Palmer did. Arizona has acquired Carson Palmer from Oakland for a 2-year contract. I will pay him up to $20 million with a $10 million guarantee. So he's basically making the same money that Arizona offered him, but or that Oakland offered him, but he's getting the heck out of town. You know it's a bad situation. At Oakland, a team he was pretty much comfortable with, you know, they offered him $10 million, and he turned it down. He wanted out of Oakland. So, I mean, what's in the water at Oakland that they can't keep good players, and the players that are halfway decent are turning down money to get out of town. I mean, Carson Fields, he still has a lot of good play left. So he's just wanting a chance to prove it. Biggest problem I've kind of kept track of Oakland a little more over the last 5 or 6 years since Darren McFadden, former running back, Arkansas Razorback. But it seems like half the time D-Mac's hurt, and you can't. And when he is playing, he's not getting very good protection. So maybe. I'm just spitballing here, but maybe Oakland needs to look at getting some linemen and stuff in there that will protect their running backs and block for their running backs so they can do something. So, like I say, Arizona got Carson Palmer, and he's out of there, out of Oakland. San Francisco, free agent quarterback, Nnamdi Asamoah, has reached a one-year agreement on a one-year contract with the Niners that's going to pay him $3 million for 1 year. Tampa Bay's gone on a signing spree. On Tuesday, Tampa Bay signed 5 players: kicker Nick Keating, defensive lineman George Selvey and Derek Landry, running back Brian Leonard, and wide receiver Steve Smith. Tampa Bay opening up the pocketbooks and signed 5 today. Cleveland making some releases today. They've restyled their defense. And so they were, because of that, they released Chris Gonkong and Asami Young. So I feel those are a couple of big, I think that's going to come back and hurt Cleveland, because those two guys were, were stalemates on that Cleveland defense. Let's move to Buffalo. Buffalo Bills signed free agent defensive lineman Alan Branch to a 1 year contract. Branch is entering his 7th year. He spent the last 2 years at Seattle. You know, like I mentioned the other day, it's silly season when it comes to the NFL because you got the draft coming up. So, you're trying to fill holes and fill those spots that need to be filled. A Jacksonville Jaguar signed free agent defensive tackle Shedrick Marks to a 1 year contract. Marks spent his first 4 seasons with Tennessee, and so now he's taking his talents to Jacksonville. And then, of course, as I mentioned yesterday, San Francisco signed former Cleveland backup quarterback Colt McCoy, who is probably going to be a backup to Karnovic or whatever hell his name is out there at Frisco. Rumors. Once again, this is rumor. This has been no way verified by anybody. But rumors coming out of Chi-Town is that the Chicago Bears may possibly re-sign Brian Urlacher. I don't know if there's been negotiations or new negotiations or what, but there's word coming out of Chicago that the Bears are looking at possibly bringing back Urlacher. So be anxious to see what happened right there. There's some more transaction, of course, with the signing of Carson Palmer, Arizona cut quarterback John Skelton. Arizona re-signed running back William Powell to a one-year free agent contract. The Colt McCoy trade, Cleveland did get fifth and seventh round draft pick in the 2013 draft for Colt McCoy. So it's not like they walked out of there totally empty-handed. And then C.J. Mosley, defensive tackle, was cut by Jacksonville. So that's pretty much that's the headlines coming out of the NFL today. Let's biddy bop over here and talk to our boys on the diamond. Second day of Major League Baseball, and as always, let's look at any transactions completed. Alberto Gonzalez, Chicago Cubs. He was brought in from the minors. Lars Anderson, Toronto first baseman, traded for cash consideration. Doesn't indicate who the trade was with. Chad Qualls, Miami relief pitcher, brought up from the minors. And the Anaheim Angels, third baseman Brendan Harris was brought up from the minors. Let us go look at your scoreboard for today. Scoreboard for today looks like this. Baltimore, Tampa Bay, 7-4. The Tribe beat the Jays, 4-1. At the end of the seventh inning, Texas 3, Houston 0. In the bottom of the sixth, you got the Battle of the Bears. Bears, not Bears. Sorry for the seven accent it was. You got the Battle of the Bears, the Colorado Rockies, home of the Coors, tied up with Milwaukee, home of Milwaukee's best, I guess. Does that Bears still exist? Something like that. Tied up 4-4. Top of the third, Arizona 1, St. Louis 0. I believe that's on Fox Sports Southwest. St. Louis and Zona. Top of the first, just getting started on the left coast, Seattle and Oakland. Top of the first in Happy Boy Town. I believe that's where they're playing. Happy Boy Town. That's my new nickname for Frisco. Happy Boy Town. Because you know they say about Frisco. Anyway, I'm not racist. Don't get me wrong. Don't take that the wrong way. Frisco Dodgers tied up, nada nada. So that's the word out of the baseball. Let's go to the hardwoods. Let's see. NBA referee Greg Willard has passed away, complications from cancer at age 54. Mono Ginobili expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks with San Antonio. 44,000 season tickets have been requested for Seattle's new NBA team. So unless the folks out at Sactown get their crap together, sounds like the response is starting to kick in for a new team in Seattle. And so let's go to tonight's scoreboard, and it looks a little bit like this. You only got three games going on. You got Washington beating Chicago 90-86. You got New York Knickerbockers beating Miami 84-78. I wish New York still had Eddie as their coach. Who remembers that movie, Eddie? I love that movie, especially when she gets out there with the cheerleaders and dancing. Whoopi Goldberg cracks me up. And then coming on a little bit later, ooh, this is one of them nights I wish I had multiple screens in the studio, because coming up later, you're going to have Dallas taking on Rihanna's new boyfriend in starting lineup for the L.A. Lakers. Rihanna has announced she's dating the L.A. Lakers because, unlike Chris Brown, they don't beat anybody. So that game's coming on here in about 10 minutes. That's going to be on TNT if you guys are watching. So that's the word coming out of there. 10 years after winning a national title, Maurice Claret, the troubled quarterback for Ohio State, is pursuing a career in MMA. How about that, boys and girls? You know, he's admit that he didn't use his head. He let stuff get to him. No, not him. Rugby. For some reason, I thought I heard that he was trying to get into MMA. But it's actually rugby that he's getting into. And, you know, he admits that he didn't use his head. He didn't make some smart decisions. And I think that's the first step of a road to recovery, is admitting that you messed up. So, if anything, I'm glad they're here and Maurice Claret admit the fact that he screwed up. So he's 29. He's living in Youngstown, Ohio. But this time he seems to be on the right track. So, you know, as always, we're going to give him our thoughts, hope things work out, and he can get everything straightened out. I mean, I know that's different from my usual rant you hear me about, good people gone bad, but there are some things that you can be forgiven for. So things I won't ever forgive people for is raping a kid, murder, hurting animals. Well, that's kind of a borderline. Depends on how remorseful you are when it comes to hurting an animal. I still don't agree with it, but, you know, who am I to judge? Let's take a look here. University of Georgia has announced, has debuted new uniforms. Just from the images I've seen, doesn't really anything noticeable. The only thing noticeable I really see is that they've gone to a white pant and they no longer have the stripes. So that's really the only thing I will we'll take a look at it. They are debuting a new logo. Still has a dog on it. They didn't mess with the helmets. They kind of darkened the red almost to the point where it looks maroon. But I still think, you know, Georgia being Georgia, it's not really that big of a... notice. Really, the only thing I really see is the change of the pants, where they don't have the stripes on the pants anymore. I could be wrong, but from the pictures I see, that's really been about the only major change I see. We're trying to look it up right now, so.
But the last 15 months, we really
bought. Well, let's see here. Once again, Nike. Nike's trying to do their thing. We got the video pulled up right now, so we're trying to tell for sure about the pants. But overall, you know, it's still the traditional Georgia, just a little bit darker on the red. Like I say, only about the real change I see are the pants. And I got the video pulled up. So we'll be able to tell you for sure about the pants. Who does have the sharpest uniforms in college football? I mean, naturally, everybody's going to name their favorite team. You got Oregon with their 365 different combinations that they have. You realize they did a survey of just this past, not this past season, but two seasons ago. They did a study with the Oregon Ducks. Everybody knows Oregon's big contributor is the owner of Nike, who naturally is a Oregon alumni. But with all the different helmet combinations, jerseys, pants, they put them all together, they worked at different combinations, and they determined that Georgia could play 365 days a year and not wear the same uniform twice. Is that a little ridiculous? What do you people think about that? Phone lines are open. I forgot about the phone lines being open. 347-326-9073. We got guests in the chat room. Hello, guest in the chat room. But yeah, 347-326-9073. Let's see. I'm still trying to find out more about this. But they, they still use the G. No, I am wrong. The pants are even the same. They're just the new materials, what it is. They're probably not as wide as on previous uniforms. So anyway, 347-326-9073. So I guess the only real thing I see is the pants look more white than they do gray. And the jerseys and the helmets may be just a little bit darker. But outside of that, no changes worth writing home to mama about. So that's the word out of football today. Naturally, a lot of teams right in the middle of their spring practices. Some teams getting wrapped up on their spring practices. So that's what we got there. Let's move over to college basketball. Apparently, there is some big apparently there's some rumblings coming out of Rutgers. Apparently, there is a video floating around showing Rutgers basketball coach shoving, grabbing, and throwing balls at players in practice and using gay slurs. And apparently there has been some talk about Rutgers possibly firing him. And personally, I have to agree. I mean, I can understand, you know, yelling at players, because sometimes you got to. You got to talk to them forcefully to get their attention. But, I mean, is it necessary to be grabbing them and shoving them and throwing balls at them? What's that going to accomplish? I'm sorry. Coach throws a ball at me, that's going to piss me off. I don't care what the situation is. So anyway, we're coming out of New Jersey that there may be some rumblings about Rutgers dismissing their basketball coach. Craig Neal has been hired as head coach at New Mexico. And it's something I consider kind of a strong move, hearing some of the names that had been even considered for the job. Southern Cal has gone out and hired Andy Enfield of Florida Gulf Coast to be the new coach at USC. And the reason I call this as a strong move is the fact that this is only Enfield's second season as the head coach. And considering the fact that Tim Floyd, former coach at USC, had expressed interest in coming back. But I mean, that's what happens. When you put a good team together and you show something, the schools are going to come calling on you. As much as I hate it, I mean, that's just what happens. And so this is what has happened here. The fact that Florida Gulf Coast put on a good run in the tournament. And so he is now the new coach at Southern Cal. So, you know, I wish him luck out there. And, you know, just hopefully they're able to do something. But once again, I call that I call it a strong move. And, so just anxious to see what happens. So let's jump over just by chance to see if there's anything happening in NASCAR. They're getting ready to hit it again this weekend. They're going to be out at the Auto Club. No, that was last week. They're going to be at Martinsville. So that's where they're going to be racing this weekend. Golf, got the Texas Open. So everybody's going to be using that as one last setup as they get ready to head to Augusta, Georgia. Vegas, still call up Tiger to be their man to take that one. And I kind of Wanderer Silva, his April Fool's Day admits his April Fool's Day hoax. Wanderer Silva came out yesterday and said he was going to be fighting Shigar Nasasi and Alexander Gustafsson had to pull out of UFC on Fuel, which is this Saturday night. Wanderlei Silva said he was going to step in and fight him. Well, Silva admitted that it was a April Fool's Day hoax. As it turns out, Masasi is actually going to be fighting Elia Latifa, who was actually Gustafsson's training partner. So, I don't know about this. I've never heard of Alir Latifa. If any of my MMA buddies out there have heard of him, would like to call in, give us some background on this guy, I would appreciate it. Like I say, Alir Latifa, I've never heard of the guy. So that's that. But it was the big hoax with Wanderlei Silva stepping up saying that he was going to take the fight this coming weekend. So let's look at some other headlines. See if there's anything new coming out of UFC. Really don't see anything. I mean, it's just pretty quiet. We were going to talk about, and I'm going to go over here and I'm going to pull up the card. Once again, coming up this Saturday night, Muskogee, Oklahoma is going to be the debut event for Striking Muay Thai Kickboxing. At the Muskogee Civic Center, you can get your tickets. You can go on Facebook and look up Striking, and you can follow the information there on getting tickets for that event. There's going to be some title fights going on, and these are not just promotional title fights. We're talking USMTA, I think that's what it is. So let me get over here on the Striking website. Their website is Striking, STRIKING fights.com. And so we're gonna run down the fight card. I think the fight card's still up here. Yeah, there it is. Like I say, we just got some great fighting. Once again, as always, these are tentatives until we actually get to the event, see who makes weight, who doesn't, et cetera, et cetera. So here we go. We'll try to start at the bottom and work up. For the United States Muay Thai Association Oklahoma Youth Championship, you're going to have Billy Wisely out of Muskogee, Oklahoma, taking on Braden Countess out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. That is the youth 8-year-old division. So I definitely encourage people to come out, support these kids, because you never know when you may see one of these kids 15 years from now, 20 years from now, fighting for UFC. So definitely come out and check that out. In the 12-year-old division, or in the 12-year-old age group, you got Tanner Walker out of Muskogee, Oklahoma, taking on Grayson Gunneman out of Siloam Springs, fighting out of Iron Core Gym. 85 pound is the weight class, a youth 12-year-old. Got some women going to be fighting on the card. You got B.B. Lacid out of Houston, Texas, taking on Shaheen Kadir out of Winnipeg, Canada. You're going to see Kelsey Snipes out of Muskogee, Oklahoma, taking on Dakota Whitworth out of Siloam Springs, Arkansas. Some more women fighting. Bethany Moore out of Kansas City, Missouri, taking on Ashley Burns. She's fighting out of Nashville, Tennessee. You got Colby Fletcher, Muskogee, Oklahoma, taking on Mohsina Wahid out of Plano, Texas. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing some of these names. In the women, you got Roni Mangania out of Houston, Texas, taking on Meg Vaughn, City. Levi Fewell, out of Muskogee, Oklahoma, taking on William Santina out of Chicago, Illinois. Kevin White, Muskogee, Illinois, taking on Kane Bunch out of Stillwell. Julio Ponce out of San Luis Potosi, Mexico, taking on Cassidy Gunneman out of Siloam Springs. That's right, that's his son, Grayson Gunneman, that's fighting in the 12-year-old age group fight earlier in the card. So we got father-son going to be fighting on this event. You got Marcus Moore, Kansas City, Missouri, taking on Kevin Rayford out of Sherman, Texas. Wes Wasmer, Kansas City. Aaron Johnson, Ada, Oklahoma. David Rowland, Muskogee, Oklahoma. Derek Fisher out of Winnipeg, Canada. Patrick Carter, Muskogee, Oklahoma, taking on Trey Wilhite out of Tulsa. Sean Vanderplug, good friend of mine, Fort Smith, Arkansas, taking on Alonzo Wherryfield out of Compton, California, for the Strike King welterweight title. You got Manuel Gregory out of Kansas City, Missouri, taking on Uriel Figueroa out of Houston, Texas. For the Strike King junior middleweight title, you got Billy Clark out of Muskogee and Stillwater, Oklahoma area, taking on Wayne Pokornik out of Winnipeg, Canada. And that's for the Strike King junior middleweight title. And then in the main event, you've got the United States Muay Thai Association junior middleweight title, which is going to feature Adam Egerton out of Louisville, Kentucky, taking on Daniel Miller out of Nashville, Tennessee. And you can go on the Strike King Fights website, and they actually have pictures and some video of some of these fighters that you've heard me mention. Now, once again, this card is subject to change, but that is the tentative fight card that we're looking at. I mean, Strike King, really looking at doing some great things. I know they got one or two more events scheduled for Muskogee back at the Civic Center, two more events after this show, but they're also looking at some other towns. I know they're looking at Tulsa, possibly going over to Oklahoma City, possibly heading up to Kansas, Topeka area, jumping over to St. Louis, Kansas City, Joplin, some of those areas. So I just encourage everybody to get behind this promotion, as well as all the promotions that I announced for you. Like I say, I just signed a three-fight deal with Aries Fighting Championship, so we're going to be going back over to Jonesboro, Arkansas area, probably not back in Jonesboro. They're looking at some other cities around that area. But once again, a three-fight deal with Aries Fighting Championship. You know, I got fights through the remainder of the year with Uncivil War MMA up in Springfield, Missouri. I'm excited about going back up there. That promotion is going ape doo-doo. I'm trying to cut down on the language, so I'll say ape doo-doo. Doesn't sound nearly as nice as ape shit, but I'm trying to be PG-13 here. So we'll just say they're getting it on like Donkey Kong up there at Springfield, Missouri. Then, of course, you've got Highfoot Combat Sports. They got that women's event coming up, and they got that women's event coming up in May 18th. And then I also got an event, and let me find, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. Let's see here. See if I can pull this up. No, we don't want to do that. Let's see here. Yeah, I got a new boxing promotion that I just signed a 2-fight event with, and that's going to be Iron Glove Promotions, and they have a big 2-day boxing event coming up at Cato Gap, which is over just south of Hot Springs, if I remember correct. So going to be going over there. And I believe, if I remember correct, that is April 12th and 13th. It's a Thursday or a Friday and Saturday event. And I'm looking forward to being a part of this new boxing promotion getting up and running. If you are a boxing or MMA promoter and you're needing a ring announcer to come to your event, give me a call. I'll come in and I'll announce your event. Not only will I come in and announce your event, I will also promote your event on the Greg Squirrel Show. We're having over 100 people every day listen to the replay of our shows. We have some events that we got over 300 people listening to the replay. So not only are they listening to us live, but they're coming back and listening to the replays. And as always, I give my heartfelt thanks to everybody who's doing that, because the more people keep listening, the more I'm going to keep doing the show. And I enjoy doing this show. There may be some nights I have to miss, but it's not because I want to. It's just because it's just the way things work out, and I'm not able to make it on the air every night. Like, you know, last night, also another promotion that's possibly going to be making its debut sometime, hopefully later this year, American Battle Championship. They're based out of Florida, but they have been in contact with me about possibly doing some events in the Northwest Arkansas, Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers area. So keep an eye out for that. I will be keeping everybody up to date on American Battle Championship. As always, I want to say hello to my good friends over at Pro. My brain went blank. Pro-Am Belts. I want to say a big hello to them. If you are a professional wrestling, boxing, MMA promotion, or if you have some kind of event coming up that you give out an award and you think, you know, a trophy just don't cut it. A medal just don't cut it. You want to give these competitors something that they can actually put up on their mantle for people to see. You know, I still got a championship belt over here. It's not displayed like I want it to be. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks I'm going to have a brand new display some of my trophies. I've won some golf tournaments and awarded trophies for that. I still got a championship belt sitting here on my bookcase from my professional wrestling days. But I want to get these things in a nice display case where people can see them. And that's why the championship belt's called. Medals inevitably end up getting lost. Trophies, they can end up getting broke if they're not displayed right. But, you know, you got this big old, like this belt of mine, this thing weighs at least 10 to 15 pounds. Medians, what do you say? Yeah, Medians are shaking their head, yes. They've only held it once because I kind of keep a shotgun pointed at it so they know not to touch it. But, you know, it's a heavy belt. And so, you know, I put it in a nice display case along with some of my championship rings that I have from various There's a minor league football team I've worked with over the years. I've had the privilege of being selected public address announcer for minor league football organizations' All-Star game and championship game. So I was awarded rings for that. Just recently, I was, in case you didn't hear, I got a brand new plaque sitting here on a Civil War Mixed Martial Arts 2012 Ring Announcer of the Year. I still haven't got this plaque up on my wall yet, but it's going to get there. It's going to get on the wall if I can ever bribe the Midians or whatever. I'm afraid to hang stuff because my measurements and stuff aren't exactly the best, but we're going to get that up. And I'm also getting I found out that I am getting a ring for being named Ring Announcer of the Year. I've seen the tentative artwork of the ring, nice big ruby stone right in the middle of it, shaped like an octagon with the Uncivil War UCW initials. Going to say Uncivil War MMA around the crown, and then on the side it will say Ring Announcer of the Year and have my name on it. Beautiful ring. I'm anxious to see what the finished product turns out like. So, anyway, where were we? We got about 8 minutes left on the show. 347-326-9073. It's going to be Northwest Arkansas Naturals. Open their season this coming Thursday. The Arkansas Razorbacks, a little change up in the Razorback baseball schedule. They are going to be on the road taking on the Alabama Crimson Tide. And they're playing, normally they play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but they're changing their schedule around where they're playing Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And don't forget, Strike King, we got the weigh-ins at the Muskogee Civic Center. That's going to be a Friday night. Then, of course, you can meet the fighters, get some autographs, fun stuff like that. Then come back Saturday night for the fights themselves. It's going to be a great time. I hope everybody can make it. Don't forget, April 27th, Uncivil War 12. MMA presents Uncivil War 12 Heroes. Proceeds from that event are going to go to the Wounded Warrior Project, and we're going to be getting some more information on about that show. And then, of course, I have my boxing events coming up, and then I have my events in May. So it's going to be a fun year for me personally with the promotions I currently announced for and new promotions that are starting up across the United States. It's just going to be a great time. Well, all right, boys and girls, we're going to go ahead. We're going to get on out of here for tonight. But as always, we just invite everybody to keep checking back. Feel free to come in and listen to the replays of our show in the archives. You can listen to those anytime you want. And naturally, if you hear something on those shows that you want to comment on, all you got to do is email me at thegregorysquirrelshow@yahoo.com. I didn't even bother to see if we had any mail in there tonight. I've kind of been bouncing around stuff. But like I said, if there's something you hear us talk about that you want to talk about, feel free to call in at any time. And then, naturally, feel free to email, leave comments or questions in our in the email, and we'll be glad to get your questions and comments on the air. So, we're going to go ahead and get on out of here. I hope everybody has a great Tuesday, or what's left of Tuesday. Tomorrow is Wednesday, and you know what Wednesday is. Hi, baby. Yeah, baby. Yeah, that's okay. I'll behave. It's Hump Day Wednesday tomorrow. Guess what that means? That means the weekend is just around the corner. So, hey, everybody be good, be safe. We will talk to you tomorrow night. And if I don't get in touch with you soon, touch yourself. Hey, it's the Grim Squirrel Show.